Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe here in the Game Nashville studios has had a little bit of a power surge, or the weather obviously is not good today. So we'll get reconnected to Bridgestone Arena here in just a few minutes. But reacting to the news of the day, Mike Vrabel has been fired as the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. We'll take your calls and text. Paul Kaharski going to join us in just a few minutes, 615-737-1025. We've got a lot of things going on
here. We do. But Chase, Mike Vrabel being fired today, initial reactions.
I've been sitting behind the scenes and working on promos and everything and listening to what the reaction. And I said to Caroline and Derek, as Joe and I were leaving Bridgestone Arena, I just had a hunch. I had a feeling something was going to go down. We were going to get some sort of resolution to this. Soon after we got off the air, and sure enough, it was about, I think, 30 minutes later, the news came out from Adam Schefter that Mike Vrabel would be moving on, and that Amy Adams Strunk had moved on from him. And I think we got everybody back at Bridgestone Arena. But, yeah, my initial reaction is I'm not surprised, but I also don't think I trust the Titans to get this right either.
Suit, appreciate you for filling in. It would have been nice if the Titans could have fired Mike Vrabel on a day with better weather outside. Uh-huh. But, hey, can't live with technology, can't live without it. And, Suit, I'm glad that you were talking about that, because that's a question that I have that I've been asking myself and Willie and D-Maze. How much do we trust the Titans to get it right? And at this point, you know, in the span of just over a calendar year, Amy Adams Strunk has fired a general manager when you were 7-5 in the first place in the division and now a head coach. How much do we trust Amy Adams Strunk to get things right?
A head coach that whose stock was pretty high, that you would think in firing the GM who had won 61%, It was a total belief in Mike Vrabel. And she did a 180 turn on that in a year's time. So that's an interesting thing. I would answer the question, though, with regardless of what you do, it is a tough league to win in, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's got the same resources. Everybody's got the injury issues. There's so many things that can derail you. So who would you trust to do it? I don't know. I mean, that's a tough question to answer, but it's a fair question.
Yeah, it is a fair question. Do I trust her? To me, that's no longer the question, because she's done what she needed to do as a owner. She parted ways with the head coach. So if you're saying, do I trust her? Well, do you trust that she made the right decision with the head coach? That should be the question, not do I trust her moving forward, because she has nothing to do with this. Now, if she's going to give
the owner.
If she's going to give the responsibility of a GM to do the GM's job, then now it's, okay, Ram, you need to get this right, because the owner has put her faith in you now. Go find me a coach, okay? So do you trust the decision that Ms. Amy made with firing Vrabel? I don't know, and we may not know for a couple of years, but it's not about whether I trust her now moving forward, because now she's removed herself from it all, because she fired the head coach. Now I'm allowed the process to work the way it's supposed to. People, wrap your heads around that. Mm-hmm. She's put everything back in order in her mind. GM, head coach, coach, you find your coaches. We find players together. I put everything back in order. Now I'm going to step out of the way. Now, Rand, you're on the clock. You and your next head coach, we trust that you're going to go find a new head coach that's going to be right for this team. And then in turn, we're going to trust that he or y'all, in collaboration, can find the best players to get this franchise back to where it was 3 or 4 seasons ago. So Amy did her job. Amy moved on from the coach. Now, question whether you trust the decision she made with that. But now it's not her decision. She's basically said, it's your job now, Rand. Find the head coach and we'll move forward. Now, in a few years, if it doesn't work, now that's the question you can ask in 3 years or 2 years. Do you trust that if she fires everybody, that she's going to go find the right GM that then can find the right head coach?
She put a lot of faith in Rand Carthon. she also put a lot of faith in Mike Vrabel whenever she fired John Robinson. And Mike Vrabel had more say, or at least that's what we, you know, we were led to believe, is that Mike Vrabel had more say. A year later, he's fired.
Who's because of the product on the field.
Who's to say this time next year, Rand Carthon won't get fired because his coach is, you know, 7-10.
Well, it
that's my thing with Amy Adams Strong.
But it depends.
You've now fired a GM and a head coach. I believe the GM was fired probably prematurely. Mm-hmm. I think that moving on from the coach is a decision that she had to make because clearly things weren't working. But now I'm questioning Amy Adams Strong's process of running this team.
My thing, I go back to this. Whose idea was it to run it back? Who do we believe idea it was to run it back?
Mike Vrabel.
Exactly.
Run it back with Tannehill with the, and Henry.
Yeah, and not rebuild.
Exactly. Rand came in. He told everybody. He said, listen, I'm going to defer to this guy. He's been here. I got to evaluate Tannehill. I got to talk to all these guys. But I'm going to defer to Mike and his coaching staff. Mm-hmm. So to me now, it's Rand because he didn't have anything to – again, he didn't have much to do with this, what happened this season. He would have probably preferred to let's just part ways with all of these guys and start over today.
But I can't make that assumption.
We can't make assumptions. But we're making assumptions about everything else.
But
so
I can't
make the
assumption that Ram didn't want to bring back Henry and Tannehill.
Okay, I see what you're saying, but we're making assumptions about everything is about an assumption because we don't know because no one is speaking. Now, when Rand speaks later on today, maybe we can get clarification on some things. But maybe Rand wanted to say some of these guys, other than Derrick Henry, we may have to move on from some of these guys to start the ball right now as opposed to trying to run it back with all these guys. Obviously, whatever was said, they decided to keep Henry, Beyer, Tannehill. And what happens in the middle of the season? It wasn't a coincidence they traded Beyer. It wasn't. By no means. It wasn't a coincidence. Why? Because the season they felt was lost. So now me as a GM, I get to do what I wanted to do at the beginning of the year, is to move on from these veteran guys. The only person that was probably truly safe was Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. Everybody else, he probably would have preferred to, hey, let's get the clock rolling now. Let's not wait. But Vrabel wasn't in the mood for that. He didn't want that. He don't want to and I don't blame him. You've had some success. You don't want to go back to a rebuild because you may not survive the rebuild. And obviously, he hadn't survived it.
So the Titans have fired head coach Mike Vrabel. We'll hear from general manager Rand Carthon in his press conference at 4 p.m. Joining us now to react to all of this is Paul Kaharsky. PK, appreciate your time on a day that I know is probably crazy for you. My first question for you, did Amy Adams Strunk make the right move in firing Mike Vrabel?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think he's going to go somewhere. He's going to find the right blend of, the right level of input, the right person to work with. And I think he's going to have success. I won't be surprised if it's great success. And if I'm betting on him there or what's going to unfold here, I'm betting on him there.
What do you think is going to unfold here?
Well, I did a very long chat, so I was out of the loop for a while there. Is there a report that Carthon's in control of this search? I haven't gotten an answer from inside the building on that. If he's in control of this search, then these are Rand Carthon's Titans. And I'm not super comfortable with that because Rand Carthon is raw. And Rand Carthon said his number one job this year was to serve Mike Vrabel. And he served them so well that he got fired. So I would say that Rand Carthon's first year was a failure based on what Rand Carthon told us his job was. I think everybody's concluding he'll hire somebody that he knows from San Francisco. Bobby Slowick would be, the first guy on that list who's done a very, very good job with C.J. Stroud in Houston this year. But collaboration is the buzzword now, and I'm going to need to be convinced that some wonderful collaboration is the key to winning football games.
Diana Russini did tweet that Rand Carthon is in charge of the coaching search.
So that sounds nice, collaboration, collaboration, collaboration. Collaboration doesn't make the right call on fourth and three from the 40 at crunch time. Collaboration doesn't motivate guys. It doesn't create a culture. It doesn't have guys talking about loving playing for you when you're 6-11 and have had a disastrous season, which Mike Vrabel had guys doing, which I think had a lot of meaning to it that maybe a lot of Titans fans and Amy Adams Strunk didn't value maybe as much as they should have.
Now, and we were going to talk about this today, Paul, in regards to Rand Carthon and sort of this thing that's being pushed of him being a first-time GM and everything else. But if we rewind this, John Robinson was a first-time GM as well. Their paths, if you look at their path, they sort of went about the same way. But I could be wrong on this, but I didn't hear anyone say that we don't trust John after his first year. He walked in with a ready-made coach that had ticked this team from being one place to another. We know where this team was before Malarkey took hold of it. And together, they built this team up. And then Mike came in and was a beneficiary of what was built. And he did a good job for a period of time. So my thing is, why can't we trust, Rand Carthon to go out there and, one, find the coach, and then, two, build this team? Because we trust John when he took over the job, and that was his first stint as a GM.
That's fair, Derek. And, I mean, most of them are first-time GMs.
Exactly.
That's how the GM path goes. The difference is the coach, right?
Uh-huh.
Malarkey was a twice-failed coach, and we knew Malarkey's ceiling. I think Mike can get enough credit, and people are too quick. The John Robinson hole is deep. The failures of his guys that he picked in the top 100 is extraordinary. And people think, well, it's been a year and a half. How come they're not out of that? Well, if it takes you 4 years to dig the hole, it's going to take you more than a year and a half to get out of it, especially when you're trading away picks to draft Malik Willis and to draft Will Levis, and fourth and fifth round picks, if they develop, don't help you much in the first year. So did the first three picks of this draft look pretty good overall? Yes, but that's just three guys. And then they didn't have great salary cap money. And the only free agent that was outstanding or top level was DeAndre Hopkins, who kind of fell into their lap. He wasn't in the free agent market. He was a late cut. And so the talent wasn't good. And I think patience, it's been proven throughout the league. If you have a good coach who's shown you with a not great roster, he can win. Then you give him a terrible roster. I say wait it out. The continuity's better for somebody like Will Levis. And, ask for some coaching changes, expect some change, and see, and make them work it out. I think this is kind of an easy way out. Well, Rand and Mike couldn't figure it out. We'll sit down with Mike, who's very strong-willed, and make him work it out to a degree instead of kind of giving up. And now, everything's going to be the name of collaboration. Again, collaboration is nice, but I don't know that it necessarily is the thing that wins you games on a tough November Sunday.
Yeah, collaboration is all good when you're winning, but when you're not winning,
right?
Boy, oh boy, it's not a word you want to be using.
And she's got to, Derek, if I could pick up on that, she's got to get off of this thing where she's got a favorite, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she sided with the right guy every time, but she needs to stop siding. For this next coach comes in, and Rand and this next coach, she needs to balance out the teeter-totter for sustained time, because as soon as things start going wrong, then they both are making plays to be the one who's on the elevated side of the seesaw. And as soon as somebody's on the elevated side of the seesaw, I heard you guys talking before I came on, then it's like, well, who's the chosen one? The chosen one is generally the most recent one. So, as soon as Rand hires this coach and he charms Amy, the clock starts ticking on Rand.
Yeah, and that's what we discussed, Paul. Like, now, regardless of whether Rand likes it or not, the clock starts on him the minute she fired Mike Vrabel. Now it is his job, it's his task to go out and get a coach and build this roster back up. Do you think that this team is able to be, and I know it could happen, and, you know, throughout the NFL, it has happened, one-year teams. You look at what Houston was able to do compared to what they've done over the last course of two seasons, but they have their quarterback, and they know that. Can this team build this roster back up in a year?
I mean, we see it happen all the time. Teams go from worst to first pretty regularly around the league, and I think fans here should say, why not us? And the expectation shouldn't be that they say, well, we need time, we need time. I think they do need time. But, again, if it was Vrabel, I'd say give him a framework and he could patch guys in around it and get them competitive. I don't know who the hire is, but that's my expectation for him. And I think that should be everybody's expectation. And they don't have the benefit anymore, the rest of the division being bad. Because Houston is legitimate, Jacksonville is at least of a certain level, and I'm not an Anthony Richardson guy, but I think the Indianapolis has a good coach now and will be of a certain level. There are no free wins in the AFC South anymore.
Paul Kaharski is with us. Paul, I got two questions for you. One, from Vrabel's perspective, like I agree with you 100% that it was noticeable that they continue to play hard for Vrabel. You got no sense collectively that the team was like, well, this guy's a lame duck. We can check out. We'll just wait for the next guy to come in. I really did think that they played as hard as they could play with all the limitations. But do you think from Vrabel's perspective that there was a little bit of, you know, I can live with how the chips fall here because there are coaching cycles. I mean, you're a Yankee fan. Billy Martin was one of those who had cycles, right? He'd go to the Twins. He went to the Tigers. Then he came to the Yankees. Then he went to the A's. But he had a cycle. We use Peter Laviolette here as a great example in hockey where he's gone about six different places and he has his cycle. Do you think Vrabel maybe deep down had a little bit of, well, if they let me go here, I know I'm going to go somewhere else and start a different cycle, and it might be the best thing?
I think he definitely had that, Willie, that he thought, you know, if this thing doesn't shake out in my favor or in a way that makes me content, I've got relationships, and what I've put on record here is plenty good enough for people to want me, and I think he will be one. I mean, I think he'd be a huge upgrade in Atlanta. I think the one thing that you're wary of is a defensive head coach is not a hot commodity, generally speaking. And I think the Titans absolutely have to hire an offensive head coach. But I think Mike Vrabel's a winner. He's hit a down cycle in that. But the guy has won his whole life. He knows how to win. And I think for a team that's been losing around firing their head coach somewhere else, they could bring this guy in, put him in front of the podium, and have a fan base that's energized and excited about what he's going to bring despite what he's done over the last 23 games.
Who in your mind, Paul, because I don't know if I have no idea what the answer is here, but I just try to envision when Amy Adams Strunk is making these big decisions and she's away from everybody, you know, she's not bouncing ideas off of Rand Carthon or Mike Vrabel about something, and she's got to make a big decision. Who are the people she leans on with sounding board, inner circle, even if it's outside of the organization? How do you think she goes about that process?
This is a question that's very, very popular, and I don't know anybody who knows the answer to this. I mean, I think Burke Nihil, who's a very, very good executive, I mean, he was the mastermind on the Titans side behind this stadium deal, though he had good people working under him, including Adolfo Birch. I mean, that's a heck of a creative deal to get that stadium done. So this is a smart guy with good business sense, and I think he's able to advise her from a business perspective, the same way that Steve Underwood did for Bud Adams for years and years. And so he learns some football as he goes, but he's not a football guy.
Right.
And she doesn't have a football guy. The football guys that she had were, you know, Ryan Cowden and Monty Ossenfort, who I think she developed relationships with, who she didn't hire and who then went elsewhere. And so her football guy is Rand Carthon, was Mike Vrabel. And I think it's difficult for her to have football guy in the building who isn't one of the chief people she's considering hiring and firing. And I don't know to what degree she's made friends with owners who she could talk to about similar thing. You know, that's an eccentric bunch. I don't need to tell you guys, but you know, I don't know how you make friends with fellow millionaires or people who are billionaires. And if you want their advice, because a lot of them are kooky in terms of hiring practices and the like as well. So, you know, in that degree, I think she's a little bit probably on her own. And we're going to find out here. This is a huge Adams, Amy Strunk moment. She's gotten a lot of benefit of the doubt, and she's made, to a large degree, a lot of good decisions. And it's going to be a couple of years before we know if this is a good one. I suspect not. But we're going to look back, and this is going to define her.
Do you think the narrative of Mike Vrabel saying, I thought we were going to hire from within Ryan Cowden, I think was going to be my guy, and then you brought Rand to the table. Do you think that narrative started the whole, I don't know, twine unraveling kind of thing with the relationship between Vrabel and Amy?
I mean, I think it's been reported legitimately that he wasn't in the first interview with outsiders, and that he was only in the second interview with Rand Carthon. And so she's already got him, you know, as a finalist before Vrabel has any kind of thing. Now, the coach isn't going to hire the GM in that regard, but I think it's a logical conclusion to say he expected to have more input. Now, that doesn't mean it had to have been Cowden or had to have been Ossenfort. But when it's not Cowden or Ossenfort, I don't think it's unreasonable for him to have expected a little bit more input than it appears than that he got. I think you know, when there wasn't magic between him and Carthon, which it also seems obvious that there wasn't, that it was bound to be problematic from there.
Paul Kaharsky, Paul, appreciate your time. Look forward to hearing all of your breakdown on this and hearing you on Robbie and Rex Show tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks for the invite.
Appreciate it. Paul Kaharsky, he is the very best. We'll react to what Paul had to say there, but I think it's an interesting point that Paul brings up. In Amy Adams Strunk's statement that she released, she talks about how in this new age of the NFL, collaboration is so important. So that's obviously what she wants to do moving forward, is a collaboration between the head coach and the general manager and probably her herself. Mm-hmm. So when we look at this past year and ultimately what the straw that broke Mike Vrabel's back was it the idea of collaboration or was it collaboration between he and Rand Carthon? Because honestly, I kind of have questions about how efficient and effective collaboration can truly be in the National Football League. I'm on record saying, and I truly believe, that you need hierarchy, that there needs to be a person with final say. Are we going to have the same setup with this next head coach in Rand Carthon? Sounds like it will be.
Well, we'll see. We will see. I just think she wants to put things back in order. And, you know, it should look like the way we assume it's going to look. Rand, you hired a coach. He hires his people. And then now, bam, clock start. What are you going to do now? Yeah, it's again, we never advocated for Vrabel to be fired, but we knew there was a possibility that it would happen. And it did. And because when you lose this much, then somebody has to be held to the fire. Mm-hmm. You already, you know, moved on from one guy. The next guy in line of the pecking order is your head coach. So, you know, maybe you should have just canned them both at the end of last season and started over. Maybe you should have did that. Now you did. Now people speculate on who has power, who didn't have the power, who Vrabel was upset with. Did they say Cowden was the guy? We have all of this sort of stuff jumbled up and messed up where you could have alleviated all of this and just fired both of them at the end of the season and just went and found you a GM and allowed the GM to fire the head coach. Now you are a year behind. You are exactly a year behind from what you probably should have done last year.
I think I'm really now curious how this press conference is going to go, what kind of vision Rand Carthon lays out.
Yeah.
Because I do think that the fan base is divided. Is that fair to say? I mean, we've had some people call in today and say, yeah, this is great. This is what they needed to do. But there's a lot of people, too, that are like, you're letting go a pretty popular coach, a pretty credentialed coach. We know he's going to get another job. And I disagree with Paul on one hit. I agree with him that I think he's going to be very successful and get another head coaching job. That doesn't necessarily mean that this isn't the right move because of the whole thing with the cycle. That's why I bring that question up. Sometimes it's just time to get a fresh start somewhere on both sides. But now it's up to Rand Carthon to sort of push the vision ahead. What do they want to do next year? Are they thinking they could be a division champion next year, or is it more of a, hey, let's be realistic, let's set the bar a little bit lower, this might take some time, this is a new era? That's how I would define it. And if you win, great, just like the Texans weren't telling everybody they were going to win the division this year, but they won the division. Anything can happen, but you don't go out there and say, we don't rebuild. I think you say, this is a new chapter. We got to build a roster here.
I would agree that it shouldn't be the expectation, but the Texans are the perfect example that it can happen.
Yeah, but they stunk for 5 years.
Yes,
they were bad since 2019.
Two first-round picks, and you got an elite defensive player. You got probably what looks like the best quarterback in this past year's draft. Yes,
yeah,
for sure.
But they went through 2020, 2021, 2022 of being bad. That's not
– dysfunctional.
That's different. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they hit it big, but – they had to be bad for a while. So I don't see that. That's not a one-year rebuild. They've been rebuilding since they got rid of, since the whole Deshaun Watson thing went south. Is that fair to say? Like, this is the end of a window for the Titans with the same core. Same coach, same quarterback, Derrick Henry, et cetera. To me, that's different. We're going into something new. It may take some time. It's not, to me, to think it's just going to be lightning in a bottle, that you're just going to turn it around in 1 year with all of this new stuff. If it happens, great. Mm-hmm. But I'm not pitching that from within. If I'm Rand Carthon, if I'm the Titans, I'm saying this may take a little time. This is new. This is fresh. Kind of like what the Predators are doing. They didn't promise anything. They're saying be patient. But where are they right now? They're in a wild card spot. They're doing incredibly well. Mm-hmm. But they didn't say, hey, we're going to change. Everything's going to be better now because we got a new coach and we got serial winners on here. They tempered expectations. I think that's what I would do if I were the Titans. Temper expectations.
You can do that, and I'm sure that's what Rand's going to do. But the world of football and the world of hockey don't operate the same. Hockey, they may give you a leeway, a season or two to sort of build your team. And you explained that with the minor league, and we got
right. You have you can have an idea what's
football,
coming up through the pike.
Football is like we win. I don't care that you got to rebuild. I want to win now. Like, the fan base is, I want to win now.
I think that Amy has shown that.
Yeah.
Because a year ago, Mike Vrabel got a vote of
still
full
not smart.
Confidence.
Still not smart.
Not smart.
I don't think.
No, not smart. But I think that it's that we're seeing maybe some trends with Amy. We'll react to what Paul Kaharsky had to say and wrap it up with your reaction. Again, the news of the day, the Tennessee Titans have fired head coach Mike Vrabel. Caroline Willie D. Mace. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.